Let's do a quick round of intros. From Wallace, Nova Scotia, Keith Elliott, keithelliottstone.com. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good here. How's it going with you?
It is adequate.
Adequate. Well, that sounds kind of mediocre.
That's all I got to say. That's all I got. Cape Breton, we got Carrie with us tonight. Good evening, Carrie.
Hello. How are you?
Adequate. Over to Halifax, we got Krista with us tonight, bitesizedtravel.ca. Good evening, Krista.
Good evening.
Over to the Valley, we got Hoogly Beer and Booze Reviews on the YouTube. Lee, how is it going tonight, sir?
Adequately middle of the road.
Over to Newfoundland, we got Mustang or Bluefin. What is common is the 774. Mike with us tonight. How's it going, Mike?
Awesome.
What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight I got a NZ Pure. It's a lager from New Zealand. I had that beer show a couple weeks ago, and it's really nice.
Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I have one of my new sort of standby favorites, the Vicar's Cross from Boxing Rock.
Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking the Good Robot Brewing Company's Gosa in my brand new glass from Primal.
Now, what is Primal? What is that?
Primal is a new restaurant that's open in Halifax, and they are in the space formerly where Fiasco was on Brenton Street off of the Spring Garden Road, if you're familiar with the area. I don't want to say they're meat-themed, but they are meat-heavy. I have a copy of the menu. It's got a lion on it. And they have some. They do all their butchery and all of those things in-house. They've got some very fine charcuterie, a lot of which I sampled tonight. Great Nova Scotia craft beer on tap. Tonight there was a tap takeover by Tatamagush. It was delicious, well-priced, fantastic. I had some biltong. The owner's from South Africa, so he makes his own biltong, which is, if you've been or if you're familiar with it, was fantastic. And, I can't wait to go back.
Do they serve lion?
Do they serve lion? They do not serve lion.
Oh.
They have bison, though. They serve bison.
Oh, okay. Well, let's step up.
But they have these really, like, kind of nifty shaped beer glasses. They're very.
Oh yeah, pretty cool.
The head is kind of like on the logo right now, but you have their Primal logo and there's a lion. So, my beer glass has a lion on it. But also, thanks to Primal for hosting me tonight. It was fantastic.
All right, excellent, good stuff. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I got it.
Ooh, you got it.
It's Breton Brewing. I'm drinking the Sons of Hector. It's a brown ale. Kind of nice. And I've got some more of the other. They have three brews on tap right now. Some of it has been delivered to Halifax. If you have a chance to sample it, it's pretty good. The IPA is really nice, and they got a Happy Weizen, which is a really nice summer beer too. So
yeah,
if you get a chance to sample it.
The Stubborn Goat in Halifax has their Happy Weizen. I had it the other night.
All right, Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm having a Pump House IPA.
I am drinking tonight. I was going to get the Good Robot Ghost also at the Crystal Wine Merchant, the private store out here in Bedford. But there was something wrong with the keg. It was all head, all foam, no beer. So I got the Tatamagush North Shore Lager.
Oh, very nice.
And it is a nice lager, very nice, tasty lager. So hopefully that will do. The growler is in the fridge, so hopefully this will do for the rest of the hangout. So a little bit. First topic here is the Queen Mary 2 is in Halifax today. Actually, should be leaving port right about now for the 175th anniversary of this ocean liner. And does anybody know main deal with the Queen Mary 2, or I guess the company, the Cunard
Lines.
Yes.
Founded by Samuel Cunard. He was born in Halifax, I don't know, like a bajillion years ago.
1800s or something like that.
Sure.
He saw a future in steam engine ships with iron hulls. But he was really, I guess, the first one that set up a, came up with the invention, I guess you can call it, of you know, of a timetable. You know, on this date we will ship out if the ship is full or empty with people or cargo, right? So it created a standard delivery time, right, for the shipping lines, and I guess that was the first, because ships back in the day, they waited until they were full of cargo or people.
It's that model where we're going to leave at a set time, make it more dependable. I mean, getting to the era where ships weren't, you know, living by the skin of their teeth, you know, trying their best to fill themselves up before they left, you know. So,
I took a look at the website for the Queen Mary 2 just to price it because I was curious. And the return trip back to Southampton leaves New York in a few days, and you can still get rooms on it, interior rooms, which I assume are like slightly above the coal room, for the 4-day crossing to Southampton. It was like $900 Canadian. It was shockingly reasonable to me. I mean, they go up quite a bit. I mean, I don't think you get much for your $900, but it's like, huh, how about that?
Yeah, so now, of course, they're doing the whole big shows here in Halifax today. I just happened to be walking by the waterfront, and all the media was there. I saw Brett Ruskin.
Work in an area where we dealt with the cruise part of the tourism world, and when a new ship would make a call on Halifax, local government officials would get invited to go on board for a tour. So I toured a couple of them. It's interesting. I mean,
well, it's no surprise all the media was there because it's novel these days in Nova Scotia to actually find a ship that's profitable and still floats. So,
well said. Well said.
Blue Nose is floating again, though, isn't it?
Barely.
Tomorrow?
It's not profitable, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jocelyn on the biggest cruise ship afloat?
Yes, the Oasis. Oasis of the Seas.
That's massive, that one.
You can watch the video tour on the Avoiding Chores website. If you go under the outdoor section, he does the complete tour from the coal room up to the top. So.
Were there dancing Irish people below deck? Like in
you know, the funny thing is, there's like nobody's any of his shots. So I said, was there anybody on this ship?
Because he went to the gym. There's like three people in it. It's kind of funny.
They were too busy at lining up at the buffet lines or casino.
I've asked people to explain the appeal of that to me, and I just do not get it. Like, I am just not their customer. I'd like open invitation to any cruise line that wants to pay me, obviously, to experience their offering and try to change my mind about cruising. This is your moment.
Well, I think the consensus is that the Queen Mary shouldn't feel inadequate. It's a good size. Is that what we settled on here?
Yeah.
Is it a fancy thing for fancy people, or is it something that everybody would do? Or
did everyone just miss the penis joke, or was it just not that funny?
No. It's for 14.
9:45. Penis. What?
Hang on.
I'm drinking.
Not even 10 o'clock yet.
Oh.
It's my goal to make Jim edit out the audio podcast as much as possible now.
Next topic here is the Nova Scotia government is discussing ways to make Peggy's Cove safe.
Oh, heavens.
Krista, can you give us just a quick intro?
So, Peggy's Cove is a very well-visited rocky coast for tourists in Nova Scotia. It has, a really nice, it kind of hits all your high points of tourism imagery for Nova Scotia. It's got a really nice lighthouse that has, you know, a pretty fresh coat of paint on it. It's got lots of rocks and water and the unpredictable fury of the seas. And unfortunately, occasionally someone gets a little too close to the edge and a wave comes ashore and takes them away. And honestly, it's pretty grim because not many are ever recovered, though there was a Coast close call last week, and somebody was recovered from the sea after being swept ashore. So for local folks, this can be pretty traumatic, especially if they witnessed it, and certainly, obviously, for people that are with whoever gets swept off, that's also pretty traumatic. So my understanding is that there have been some meetings with officials and local people to discuss ways that this can be made safer. But there is, you know, when you go out there, Rick Conrad on Twitter, at Rick Conrad, if you guys follow him, went out this week and did a pretty good job of capturing the signs and where they are right now. And they are, admittedly, they're in English, but they do speak to the unpredictability of the conditions and also the relative danger, and also tells people to stay off black rocks. And, I mean, that's as strict as the advice. Like, that's as straightforward as the advice gets.
Well, here's the thing: is common sense only in English? I mean,
exactly.
I mean, well, damn man! Like, I know people don't read signs anyway. They should institute a death tax in Peggy's Cove. If you die, your family has to pay money. That would keep people away from it pretty quick, I think.
So this is a picture of a fella climbing on the rocks to get a really good picture. In a town called Muxia on the Atlantic coast of Spain, and it's in an area called the Costa del Muerte, the coast of death, for what should be fairly obvious reasons. But if you look where he's crawling, the rocks are, first of all,
wet.
Second of all, there are puddles, which means that there has been water there fairly recently. And in this area, in this particular area, there is no signage whatsoever. You just go with the sense God gave you. And I was there, Lori and I were there, and I kind of like elbowed her, and I'm like, I don't like the looks of this. Like, we could be watching this guy die. Because we are, of course, both from coastal areas and are familiar with both the unpredictability and the power of the sea. Now, as far as I know, this guy survived, but this example shows that this isn't just limited to Peggy's Cove, unfortunately.
It's like Mount Everest. You take your life into your own hands, and if you end up being one of the frozen bodies up there, well, too bad for you.
Well, the deal with Everest is, like, they leave you there. Like, you go in knowing that. But I don't know. Like, if you don't have any concept of how dangerous something is, I don't know how you get people to appreciate how dangerous something is.
Well, what can you do? I mean, is a fence really going to stop people? That was one of the proposed ideas.
Well, no. The fence is not happening. That's not going to happen.
You know, so I saw somebody suggest a row of markers on the rocks to, you know, don't cross this line. But I can just see these aerial shots. So you can just see the faint line of these markers dotting across the rocks.
I mean, what do you do?
There are people sitting on them and getting their pictures taken. I can see that, too.
But it's variable, right? Like, the whole reason that these happen is often because it's rogue, or there are extreme weather conditions, like during hurricane season. Like, one of the few things that gets, well, no, one of the many things that gets me raging is if there's a storm coming in and everyone, like, caravans down to Peggy's Cove to go look at the big waves on the rocks. And then police have to go stand there on the rocks when they probably should be doing other things and tell people not to go near the rocks to keep them from being swept into the ocean.
Like, that is one of those things.
Well, a police officer shouldn't, like an RCMP officer shouldn't have to go stand there and be a lifeguard for people who live next to the ocean and should have better sense than that. Oh, that makes me so crazy.
So should the government just give money for David Hasselhoff to be here during the summer?
He's too busy drinking and eating cheeseburgers on his floor.
Yeah,
on the beach and he's going like this.
I don't know. What do you tell people? Like, anytime if I tell people to go there, don't go on the black rocks. Don't climb down close to the water. But at the end of the day, you know, individuals exercise their agency. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they should do nothing. I mean, even if they closed off Peggy's Cove from tourism altogether, like, they just, by some weird chance, they decide to do that, people will still go there and they still get swept off the rocks.
Well, that's definitely not going to happen. But, you know, they're you know, like, I guess there's been talk about looking at the signage, so that seems productive to me. That makes a lot of sense. You know, maybe putting it in like another language in addition to English, though English is a very common when you travel to other parts of the world where English isn't the first language. The warning information is often in the local language and English. But
I think just about every area in the country has these dangerous places, whether it's at waterfalls with a swimming hole above it, or like Peggy's Cove here, we got Cape Spear. You can put up signs, but you can't keep people away from it other than common sense and obey the rules. They don't put up the signs for fun. Obviously something happened, right?
And I am regretting being an Eastlink internet customer.
Great segue. Let's talk about the next topic, which is Eastlink, the second monopoly, I guess you can call it, in terms of internet. Well, monopoly, duopoly. We got Bell or Eastlink. Eastlink has the cable internet. They were given a whack load of cash over the last 7-8 years to put broadband into rural areas, and a whole bunch more money for wireless. This week they announced that you know what, you're going to have a 15 gig cap if you live in the woods. That means you can probably do email, definitely not YouTube, and definitely not Netflix.
Yeah, unless you want. Yeah, don't even think about doing anything other than like email and maybe finding some antiquated BBS somewhere from 1995 and posting on that. Otherwise, you're going to run up your 15 gig like pretty damn quick. So
back in 2007, they were supposed to set up their broadband, you know, the coax, up, I think it was 1.2 megabits. So not terribly fast, but still, you know, workable. I guess now, not much better than dial-up in rural areas. And let's face it, the internet is becoming a necessity. We see it with cord cutting. People just keep internet, you know, with all the government services, license renewals, applications with the feds, everything, and our entertainment, Netflix and YouTube and all that. We need broadband, and the fact that Eastlink is saying, hey, we're meeting 2007 standards.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
The system is working.
Yes, it's 2015, and it's much more crucial that everyone is hooked up to the internet at this point if they want to be.
Hell yes. Yeah, speaking as a guy that was without internet for 3 days, I still have the shakes in my hand. Just generally. And it's not from alcoholism either. It's actually the lack of
it's anger. It's anger.
And it's rage. Bell Alliance. Ooh.
Oh, my God. What am I supposed to do when I finally reach my peak of hating Eastlink?
You're going to have to try to mnemonic the situation.
But what's with Eastlink, though? They're screwing everyone on the internet. They're screwing everyone on their TV packages lately because they've been doing that little subtle, oh, we're upgrading your channels. If you want to see this channel upgraded, call in now, or otherwise you might be have your service disrupted. Hey, guess what? I'm not watching your fucking TV anymore because you make me want to buy one of your stupid boxes to watch your stupid TV channels now. Like,
let me make this real easy for you. Cancel your service. TV's on the internet.
Yep. Hey, I got Netflix. Piss off.
That's right. I turn my TV on maybe every other day now, and that's only to watch something that I'm, like, Netflixing or Chromecasting.
You know, those people are Eastlink at this point, they're no better than those telephone scammers who trick old people into buying into their scams and stuff, because it's the same sort of bully tactics. I mean, that is who they target. They target senior citizens and stuff who are maybe not as savvy with cable connections and things like that. Oh, you still want to see your stories on TV? You got to buy our box now, Mrs. Crabapple, or whatever, you know, like
Mrs. Crabapple.
Well, I mean, the only problem with that business plan, of course, is that those customers are dying, and they're not replacing them with new customers. There has to be some technology that's gonna come along and fix this for us, so that we have another option, or we don't have to get internet from these guys. And an interesting thing that is going on right now, as we speak, in Canada, is that the CRTC, Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission, is doing a nationwide consultation with Canadians about how they feel about their telecommunications services. And anyone in the country can submit comments, and they're specifically, when you look through the documents, they are specifically looking for people in rural parts of Canada and how they feel about their internet service. And
do they really need to do a survey? Do they?
No, they're,
really
they're not doing a survey. They're doing a. It's a, they do these like nationwide consultations periodically, and every comment that gets submitted gets read into the public record. So it does. It don't use your swears, and ultimately forms decisions that the commission makes that regulates how this industry works. And
this sounds like having a meeting to have a meeting.
Well, listen, CRTC has been very pro-consumer in recent rulings, particularly when it comes to things like cable packaging and stuff like that. So if you ever wanted your moment to go on the record about how much you hate the system we have in this country,
that's what Tumblr's
so
for.
Many of us do hate it. No, that's not what Tumblr's for. File an official complaint. Use the official system. You guys pay taxes. Everyone complains about paying taxes. Put your tax dollars to work because your tax dollars are paying for this.
You can't get a government, so you can't go, you can renew your license and everything else by on the internet, but if you don't have it, you can't do it.
You can pay your taxes, you can do all that sort of stuff through the internet. It's now a utility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're trying to eliminate paper and all that stuff, so I mean, it just makes sense, right?
Oh, and the tax are that by giving you a convenience fee.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, next topic here is the possible shark at Martinique Beach is freaking out a bunch of people. So,
is this a Shark Week ploy? Does this happen to be Shark Week in the Shark Week?
You know what it is? It is a Sharknado.
Our Sharkpocalypse.
The third Sharknado is coming. Nothing is safe.
The Sharkatola Kohomani is attacking us.
that's
like I just brought back the 80s with that reference. Wow.
The Sharkatola of rock and roll right there.
Yeah. But they're fishing for sharks in Lewisburg next week too.
It shouldn't surprise us since we are along the Atlantic Ocean. I'm sure we can see once in a while. Wasn't there like a whale in the Halifax Harbor a couple weeks ago?
Well, I have to ask a question. I actually thought we got sharks here fairly regularly.
We do.
I'm not a marine biologist.
Depends on the shark. Like great whites, we usually don't get them.
No, but do we know this is a great white? I mean, all I saw was a blurry black blob in the water. For all I know, it could have been like someone wearing a full-body wetsuit with a hood.
That's the thing. They couldn't positively identify the shark, I don't think.
I think it was like Bigfoot with like a shark fin attached to his back.
It was probably a sunfish. It wasn't moving very fast.
That's pretty
much nice shark. But there's no sunfish week. There's shark week.
Exactly.
That's next week.
I'm with Dan. I gotta be honest. I do not care about sunfish week. So shark it is.
Boring.
Did they say what size it was supposed to be? Like the shadow or whatever? Like.
No.
He said it was the size of a pizza box. The fin, the dorsal fin. So thinking
was
it's
this a stoner that said this. the pizza box measurement system now?
I was going to say, anyone who measures things in pizza boxes is my kind of people.
Arm length? What's that, arm length? Because, like, you know, a pizza box at arm length could be really, really big.
And is it one of those Greco boxes, like those big wide party pizzas that they have?
Maybe it's filled with cheese.
Yeah. Cheese shark coming to sci-fi in November.
Ooh. Shark bites.
But there are sharks around the Atlantic end a lot. There are more the last few years, seems to be. But,
it's because the ocean's warming up and everything's going to die.
Yeah,
but they've been here for years. I just tweeted a link there a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
50 years ago, Wallace had, there were several sightings of sharks in Wallace. Some of them were brought ashore. My grandfather was in the DFO at the time. You know, there were 9 feet, 11-foot sharks, and they were seeing sharks over 20 feet in the herring and the hake nets. I mean, that was 50 years ago, so they definitely do come here. How often, I don't know, but, I mean, how do you know it's out there under the water all the time? I mean, they see orcas in the Bay of Fundy sometimes, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be very exciting. But and I can imagine if you're on a surfboard, seeing a shark would be like, wah! Like
yeah.
There's tracking a couple of great whites now the last couple of years, and there's one, I think they called it Alice, I'm not sure, they got a name on it, but she comes back every summer and goes to Placentia Bay. every summer about July, I believe it is.
Maybe she likes the scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I dive, and the scariest thing in the ocean here is probably sea urchin. Or little spiny
yeah, that's
things.
The, that's the thing. People need to realize that we're not in the shark's food chain. I mean, we really are not, unless we look like a sea lion to them.
Mm-hmm.
Chum up the water around you when you go swimming.
Yeah.
Stay off the paddleboard.
Well, I mean, let's blue sky this for a moment, though, guys. Like, can we use the shark thing to fix the Peggy's Go problem at all?
Ooh.
If you put up a sign that said, like, warning, sharks, stay far, far away from the water. Like, I feel like that's...
No. It didn't work in Jaws. It won't work here.
Bigger thing.
Only one of those things are real life.
We have a fairy problem that's looking for a solution, and we've got sharks. You got to merge those two.
These are all great ideas. I love
shark
this.
Propelled fairy, is that your name?
Little wee sharks.
Coming to the Yarmouth Ferry, Shark Watch.
Shark Watch. Yeah. And they're like, Yarmouth sharks.
Go to Maine and see nothing and not get accommodated at all.
There's a mall.
The Mall of Maine.
Hey, this is a great segue to our next topic. Let me bring it up here. I kind of missed this as it was happening on Twitter.
I know, me too. I'm so mad.
But if you've been following Dead Raccoon T.O. on Twitter.
What?
I cannot even tell you how much I have enjoyed this today.
So I guess this happened yesterday.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess in Toronto, in downtown Toronto, a raccoon died. And somebody...
Probably of distemper, for the record.
Set up this little scene right here and started with the hashtag DeadRaccoonTO, a young in church.
Okay, so can we just go back to the, like, my absolutely favorite thing about all of this is the picture frame with the picture of the raccoon in it.
Yeah, that's the best. It is the, on the card.
When I saw that this morning, I was in tears laughing at that.
I have two questions here. Okay, have coroners yet determined the time of death? And if they have done so, has anyone questioned Cyril Sneer where he was during that time?
There has been no investigation. The raccoon has been incinerated at the Toronto Animal Services facility for this.
Well, the raccoon had some. Look what's in the paw of this raccoon in this picture. It's a joint.
Like somebody went out, bought a frame. Went on the internet, Googled happy raccoon, printed out the picture, put it in the frame, left their office.
Dug out a Crayola marker from his kid's box, whatever.
Stole a marker from their kid.
A piece of cardboard.
Earlier in the day, there was just the rose, kind of, and that's kind of like nestled in his arms. And I mean, that is like hysterical to me. Wow. But I mean, like, all of this was really like a commentary on municipal. Let's say delay. Let's not call it failure. But, I mean, it just went to a place, like, I love it when things get really ridiculous and absurd, particularly when you're dealing with corporations or bureaucracies or any of these things, and this went exactly where I needed to go.
This is Monty Python, essentially. Like, this is Canadian version of Monty Python, pretty much.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
And notice how this raccoon is starting to bloat as we get into, this raccoon's been on the side of the street for, like, a day, right?
Oh, is this going to be, like, that exploding whale in the middle of, like, Taiwan?
Oh, maybe. But it was probably in the mid to high 30s, or mid-20s to low 30s in Toronto today. It was a warm day. I mean, I don't know how close to that raccoon I would get because there is a really good chance. I think raccoons can get rabies and like distemper and all this stuff. So there's probably like something in the mix if it wasn't just flat out poisoned. Like there's no reason to get that close to it, but I'm really glad that somebody went and got that picture frame and put the picture in it. That was really
the best.
Is there gonna be like a third day resurrection of the raccoon?
there are plenty more to take its place. But did you see the responses? There was a Toronto City Councillor, his name Norm Kelly, who's really social media savvy, and he really chimed in at several points in the day. And his later in the evening, as this was starting to wind down, he said, "Everybody, keep your green bins open tonight in tribute to."
He misses AOL CDs in the mail. I can't remember what that was about.
Oh, that was...
Net Zero and that stuff. Net Zero and Eastlink, and Net Zero was all up and faster than Eastlink. Yeah, I was on Net Zero for a while.
You got mail.
All right, that's it, kids. We'll do this again. Join us next week for the ladies' night, ladies-only hangout, and then we'll be back the week after that. All right, Krista.
Good meeting!
Good meeting!
Meeting.